Well, good morning. My wife and I normally go to the first service, and we normally sit probably three quarters of the way back on the right side of the church. And I told them this morning that sitting down front, I don't normally get to hear all the music, and they're good. But I want you to know, sitting down here this morning, you guys rock. It's amazing. Yeah. Let me ask you a question this morning. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you, when you either die or are raptured, believe you're going to go to heaven? Let me see your hands. Well, there's a couple. Okay. That's good. Now, when you get to heaven, how many of you believe you're going to hear Jesus speak English to you? Any of you? You know, I am really hoping that I hear English coming out of his lips. I don't know if it's going to be English or Hebrew or Aramaic or some other kind of heavenly language, but I honestly want to stand before him and watch his lips form a W when he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because wouldn't it be devastating if you stood in front of him and he said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you"? The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the first two verses, "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." You and I who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that should be our goal, that should be our aim, is that you and I are found faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning that I'm not going to read, but we'll go through it little by little, shows the faithfulness of Paul and Barnabas. As we go into the book of Acts, and we look at chapter 14, we see that Paul and Barnabas have just returned from their first missionary journey. They've been beaten. They've had some highs, they've had some lows. But all throughout their journey, spreading the gospel message, they've been faithful to God. And that is so important that you and I are found faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be faithfulness. We need to show the same faithfulness that Paul and Barnabas had. As they recorded their experiences, they showed us an example. And we need to learn from that example. We need to imitate that example. No matter what heartaches, what trials and tribulations we go through. We see their faithfulness. In contrast, we see the fickleness of the pagan crowd. I had forgotten that we do things differently down here. We don't read the scriptures, do we? I mean, we all upstairs, they have somebody read the scriptures, so please forgive me because I had forgotten that we haven't read that particular passage this morning. But if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I would ask you to look in Acts chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 8 through 28, and I'm not going to read it because it's a very long passage, but we're going to go in and just look at this passage and see where you and I can be faithful stewards, faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul and Barnabas were there preaching in Derbe, they found a man that was lame from birth. You probably know the story already. He was lame, and they realized that God had given him the faith to be healed. So Paul very courageously, very loudly proclaimed that this man should get up and walk. And that's exactly what he did. He got up and walked. And as a result, these people thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods coming down from the heavens. The Jews from Antioch shortly came and told them that because they hated Paul's message, they persuaded these people to stone Paul as an impostor. And they dragged Paul's unconscious body to a garbage heap and threw it on this pile of rubbish. Some scholars think that Paul was dead. In the passage this morning, it says that he was supposed to be dead. So I don't believe he was. Some other scholars think that he was caught up into the third heavens. But that doesn't fit the chronology. But in any case, he was hurt. He was seriously hurt. He was seriously wounded. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, he reminds the Galatians of his wounds. He said that he had brand marks like Jesus, probably referring to the scars that he had all over his body from the stoning. God miraculously raised Paul up. He sent him on a 60-mile journey the very next day to Derbe, where again he was faithful and preached the gospel message. Now we could probably take and look and read this passage and grab a dozen different marks of faithfulness. But this morning I only want to look at six. And the first one is that a faithful servant points God's people to the living God and not himself. Lystra was a small town that Paul was traveling to. He traveled there hurt, injured, but God gave him the strength, the power to go there. And all the way he was traveling, he was sharing the good news with other people. And beloved, that's what we're supposed to do. We have friends, we have neighbors, we have relatives. We're supposed to share the good news with them as well. How many of us do it? Many years ago when my wife and I were first married, my grandmother lived in Detroit where I grew up. And a couple times a year we would go in and we'd say we'd have to share the gospel message with Grandma. She was 86, I believe. And then she got sick and went in the hospital. And every time we came home, we never shared the gospel message. Her 87th birthday came around. 88th birthday came around. And then she went into the hospital for a broken hip. And Ruth and I rushed into the hospital and we shared the gospel message with her and she accepted the Lord at 87 years old. Now, why didn't God give me the boldness to share that message? Folks, we're all that way. The ones we love the most, we have the most trouble in sharing the good news. We need to change. Paul and Barnabas were faithful in sharing the good news. They were pointing people to God, not to themselves. And that's what we need to do. The second point I want to bring out this morning is that a faithful servant courageously keeps on proclaiming the gospel in spite of persecution. Now, as Paul and Barnabas were going through their first missionary journey, they had some terrible issues. They had some terrible times. They were stoned. They were thrown out of towns. All kinds of things happened to them. They were truly persecuted. You and I don't know what persecution is like. I don't know if you're like me. I get a sore finger and I kind of fall apart. But not them. Paul is beaten and stoned. And he continues on, pointing the gospel to Jesus Christ in spite of all the persecution that is happening them. Even after getting stoned, he doesn't give up. Man, I would have taken a vacation. But he got up and the very next day walked 60 miles to the next city. He didn't have a bicycle or a car. He walked. And on the way back through Perga, where for some reason they had not been able to preach, he then became put on his pastor's hat. He pastored them. He took care of their problems, the issues that they had. And one of the reasons he did it is while going through there the first time, he built up the people. He created a church. And they were ministering. Much as you folks minister to your loved ones, to your small groups, your connection groups. What a blessing that is. How you respond, I believe, will be the test of whether we are faithful or not to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to respond rightly because we need to be faithful to Jesus. The third point I wanted us to see this morning is that a faithful servant strengthens and encourages other disciples, especially regarding the role of trials in the Christian life. Let me ask you, how many of you have gone through trials? Any of you? I guess I'm the only one. No, I think we've all gone through trials. Some great, some small. But nevertheless, they're trials. And all the more we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what Paul and Barnabas did. That's what our Savior wants us to do. I believe that the more trials we go through, the more Satan is trying to get into our heads, trying to destroy us as Christians. But the more trials we go through, the more strength I believe we have, the more encouragement we have to share Jesus Christ with others. I am sure that Paul and Barnabas concentrated because in verse 22 it says, strengthening the souls of disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, folks, I think one of Satan's most effective tools that he uses to cripple us is to put us in trial. To try to get us down to the very bottom where we're emotionally unstable, where we're not feeling well health-wise, where there's nothing but up. But praise God, we've got a Savior. We've got a Savior who loves us and encourages us. I love that poem, and I've used it many times, the poem of Footprints in the Sand. Where Jesus is walking and you look and you only see one pair of footprints. And you look up at him and you say, Jesus, where are you? And he says, they're mine. I'm carrying you, my child. That's what Jesus does when we have trials and tribulations. And then fourthly, I want us to see a faithful servant helps churches to be organized under godly leadership. I am very thankful for Trinity Church, for the elders that we have. In a very short time, in a couple of months, we're going to be voting on new elders. Some of your names have been tossed in the hat. They haven't just been haphazardly thrown in. They've been looked at, examined, whether or not you meet the qualifications. Because it's an important job. And as Paul and Barnabas were traveling through this area of Iconium, they were ordaining elders because they met the criteria. Now, most of these people were fresh Christians, young Christians, because Christianity hadn't been around. But they were mature people. Not necessarily old, but mature in the faith. And that's what we're looking for. For as we choose our elders here at Trinity, to use the map that Paul and Barnabas gave us, that Christ has given us through Titus and other books in the Bible. What a privilege it is to be able to serve. And as I said, I'm so thankful we have a board of elders that truly love you, that come together each week and pray for you. They're an encouragement. What a blessing that is. The fifth point I'd like you to see this morning is that a faithful servant is accountable to those who sent them into ministry. Paul and Barnabas sailed back to Antioch. They gathered the church together and they reported back to them. We have, I believe, 30 plus missionaries that we support from Trinity all over the world, some here in the United States, some even locally. But I love it when we have a missionary Sunday and they come and report to us what's happening, that God is using them. And that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas was doing. They were reporting back to them, sharing what God had, how God had used them in their walk. The different people that had gotten saved, the different people that had gotten healed, the different people that God had used. What a blessing that would have been. They reported back. And what a blessing that is to hear these missionary stories. And then lastly, a faithful servant gives the glory to God for what he does through him. Now this is very similar to the very first point. But that first point was reference to unbelievers. This was reporting back to the church. Now, they didn't report on all the things that God had done. But they reported how God had given them insight and sharing the good news with other people. And what a blessing that is. He worked mightily in their lives. Andrew Murray was a person who wrote devotionals. Some of you might have used his devotion. But he and his brother were born and grew up in South Africa, and his brother remained there as an evangelist. And while Andrew's brother was there, he absolutely saw no fruit of his labor. Not one person came to the Lord. Wouldn't that be discouraging? But shortly after he died, a revival broke out. And literally thousands came to know Jesus. I tell you that for this. People are watching you. They know you're a Christian, many of them, I hope. And you never know the seed that you are planting in people's lives. Oh, you might not harvest it, but you've planted it. Someone else might water it. Another person might take all the weeds from it. And then another person will harvest it. Andrew Murray's brother didn't see the harvest of his labors. We might never see the harvest of his labors. But God will. We have been very fortunate these past 6 years to have had a pastor who has planted many seeds. He's invested his life in many of us, many of you. I told Pastor last night through messaging that I wasn't going to embarrass him. I lied. I love my pastor. I've only been here 6 months. Now, I've had the privilege of serving the Lord in one way or another over almost 50 years. That's older than most of you. I'm old. And I've had the privilege of sitting under some wonderful men of God that have been my mentors, men like Charles Stanley and Adrian Rogers, men like Warren Wiersbe, who just passed away. Men who have written hundreds and hundreds of books, preached thousands and thousands of sermons, have had rallies to meet tens of millions of people probably. And they're all very famous. But I'm going to tell you, it takes pastors like Kevin Meek. And to me, he's just as important as a Charles Stanley. Because he's pastored right here, touching our lives, touching my life, having an impact, planting that seed, a seed that he might never see the harvest, but he was faithful, being a servant of God, in planting it. We've been very faithful, or very, very, very fortunate to have had a pastor who has all of these qualities of being a faithful servant of God. Would you pray with me?